Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of
Doomed Prophecy.
My name is Jaden, and I'm here with Brett.
I am here.
Yeah.
And we're going to not talk about Sentinels for the first time in a while.
Also, yeah.
Speaking of Sentinels.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say.
You've seen their cards, yeah.
And they're dope. And.
And I fucking called it. You said that we couldn't have a card that brought a Sentinel back to life. Bam, we got a card that brought a Sentinel back to life.
It doesn't exactly bring it back to life.
Yeah.
It's so close,
I played one game with it so far, and yeah. I got up to enough power, and then I got greedy, and my opponent one-shot my injured Sentinel. So I think there's going to be a lot of times where if you don't have a bodyguard, you're going to need to like just ignore the part where it removes damage and just immediately use it on an injured Sentinel and flip it back over.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And also probably for the best. Because, yeah, like, if you've got that, your opponent's just going to be like, nope, kill confirmed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which they should do.
Which, actually, maybe that's a good reason to run, like, Luke Cage.
I do like Luke Cage.
Yeah, like, it'd be really hard to, like, I mean, you have to kill a Sentinel in one attack, basically.
Right.
And interesting fact that I didn't realize until I was playing, it is an active card, but it is not during Sentinel Prime's activation.
So yeah, it's like Bitter Rivals.
Yeah, you can bring a Sentinel back to life even if Mark IV Prime is already gone.
Yeah, and it can even be the Sentinel that's about to activate, and so you can flip it to healthy and do stuff with it.
Yep.
Which is really, really, really strong, if anybody was curious. I mean,
adding, like, turning 8 power into 7 health is already ridiculous. If you ever get the 12 health, like, that's gotta just be game over.
Yeah, it's one of the most, like, efficient uses for, or efficient cases of turning health into, or power into health in the game now. Which is pretty dope. Yeah, so that's exciting. Those are releasing on October 14th. 7th is the 40k decks. 14th. And I'm really excited because I think I will actually have a short window in my commission painting schedule when those come out. And I'm just going to paint one because they're cool.
They come out the Friday of Second Wind.
What's Second Wind?
It's a tournament in Chicago that we're all going to.
Oh, so are you going to play?
Don't know if I'm going to have them. If I can. Well, I guess I shouldn't talk about it publicly. Very unlikely.
Fair enough.
If something shady happens, then maybe I will. But
I will say that if you want to paint them, you could do exactly what it looks like they did for the official box art, which is spray paint them silver and then use contrast paints over them. And that then some edge highlighting with other like contrasty paints mixed with silver. I'm not joking. I think it's not unreasonable to recreate pretty close to the box art in under an hour.
Yeah, and all I'd have to do is buy spray paint. And didn't a competitor GW come out with contrast paint? What's it called?
Yeah, Speed Paints. Army Speed Painter,
Paints, okay.
I think.
Yeah, I'm happy by those.
Yeah. Or you can like literally just thin down any paint with like matte medium or something.
Well, and I also bought the metallic medium, the unpigmented one.
Oh, dope. Yeah, that stuff would be interesting actually to compare the two, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
So I did that for my Hulkbuster. Yeah.
Speaking of painting, Brett, you won Best Painted at an MCP tournament recently.
Did.
That's like huge, man.
Yeah.
I'm so proud.
There were several other players who were fully painted.
Hey, man. Like, what was it, a year and a half ago, you were like, I hate painting. Jaden, make me better at this. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to try this. And here you are winning events.
That was longer ago than
that. It wasn't that long ago. It was like just at the beginning of the pandemic.
It was pre-pandemic, though. But yes, I have, with the exception of Black Dwarf, which I'll die mad about, I have played MCP fully painted my entire career.
Very nice. I haven't, but I just also paint really slow. So, so that's the news. Oh, we also got the news that Pyro Blob and Wolverine and Sabretooth are coming out this year. Yep. Which is interesting.
Wolverine comes with a motorcycle.
Yeah, that terrain pack that he comes with is much more extensive than anybody had ever guessed it would be.
I just think it's so funny that it's like listing off like character, tactics cards, team, and then it's like motorcycle. I'm like, what?
It's a pretty cool looking motorcycle, in fairness. Mm-hmm. Like the renders of it are really neat, and I'm reasonably excited to paint it. So that's fun. So those are coming out in December, which is kind of breaking with AMG's long tradition of not releasing anything in December. What's coming out in November then? Anything?
Nothing.
All right.
It's probably delayed. Those are probably supposed to be December.
I can see that. Okay. Well, either way, we're not talking about Sentinels or new releases for our episode today. What are we talking about, Brett?
We are talking about the Winter Soldier.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep, we're talking about Bucky.
A model that was almost never played. Got one line of rules text added.
Uh-huh.
And is now in every list?
Yep. Yeah, so I got my first experience with him post-changes a couple of weeks ago, and so I have thoughts. But,
oh, yeah.
So he dazed a full health Juggernaut and Scarlet Witch on one activation, and then KO'd the Juggernaut and KO'd Magneto in one full health injured side Magneto in one activation after he spent a turn being dazed. So
he probably needed a hammer for that.
He had two, and then a third.
Okay, yeah, then yeah, that's very standard.
Yep.
So why is this character so ridiculous? Why? And we're talking about him because he's going to be very common until something changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to talk about what makes him good, how to deal with him, and how you should play him to his full potential.
Yeah, because those are very interesting topics. And I think we should probably start with going over his card.
Yeah. I want to talk briefly about game design for a moment as it pertains to him. So Winter Soldier is one of two characters who have the rogue agent rule. So one of the interesting things about Marvel Crisis Protocol is that the hiring restrictions are extremely lax. You can mix and match characters almost at whim, and as long as more than half of your characters match an affiliation, there's not even a penalty for playing bizarre stuff like Venom and Peter Parker on the same list. That's not that bizarre, but yeah.
Venom and Thanos.
So, sure, yeah. So this leads to a problem where if any characters are slightly above the curve, they push everything at that threat level out of the game. You see this with Voodoo. I think you're starting to see this with like Iron Man, where it's like these characters are slightly above the curve and I can take two unaffiliated characters in most lists. So why would I take anything that's not this one that's just way better? And so persuading people to not do that is extremely difficult. And then Winter Soldier takes that one step further in that he counts as affiliated for any team. So you have to be extremely careful with him, or he's going to push, like, he's going to start pushing like core characters in your affiliation out of the game.
Yeah. And in some cases is already doing that.
Yeah.
So let's go over what exactly he does, 'cause that's probably going to be relevant to this conversation, and not everybody has 100% fluency with the characters. Do you have his card up, or shall I pull it?
I've got it. So, he is a 3 threat. He has... So he has slightly above average health. He's got 5 on his front side, 6 on his backside. Slightly below average defenses with for a 3 threat, which is 3 physical, 3 energy, 2 mystic. He's been mind controlled for most of his life. So there you go. Mm-hmm. He has the standard 3 threat attack is a range 2, strength 5 builder. He has a range 5, strength 4. So range 5 is ridiculously good.
Yes.
It is hard to overstate how good range 5 is. Range 5 is like attack from one B to another. Like,
and
in most cases.
Range 5 on him isn't even like, that's not even really what it is. It's more like range 5 plus 3-ish, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll, sorry, we'll get there. He has, yeah. Yeah, but it is a builder, which is really good, especially because they gave it the rapid fire rule. So, rapid fire is, I would argue, the most criminally underpriced rule in the game. The amount of damage it does compared to like its expected value is astronomical. Because as we talked about a lot in the dice therapy episode, your attacks are going to go like 0 damage, 0 damage, 0 damage, 5 damage. Mm-hmm. And because he can make 4 to 6 attacks a turn, he gets to lean into those spikes more often. And it's even worse because it's a builder. When you get that spike, you're now fully charged, basically for the rest of the game.
Right. And this isn't even taking into account the fact that his spender attack can let him also make 2 rapid fire attacks for free. So this guy's optimal activation is actually 6 really good attacks.
Yeah. It has a bleed on there, which is actually not nothing.
No.
It's a good way to...
And I was playing him in Midnight Suns, and I really enjoyed that, actually. It was... super fun.
Oh, the fuel blade. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, and so blade's over there. Tap that guy.
Yeah. So his power generation is a little unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
You are relying on getting a spike. Once it gets started, it's very hard to stop the train, but it can be hard to start, and a couple bad dice, like if you miss your rapid fire and he can be really power strapped. And because he can easily spend like 15 power in a round. Easy.
Right. But he can also reasonably reliably generate that once things are going.
Yeah. And usually that's how he's, you know, spending 5 more than the limit, is that he's usually gaining a lot back when he spends it, but it is a little unreliable.
Yes.
His spender, like we talked about, is truly ludicrous. So it's a 4-cost spender that only has 7 dice. Again, the spenders are overcosted. If it didn't have any special rules, you would never use it compared to a 4 dice rapid fire. See Mystique. Mm-hmm. So what is crazy about it though is that it has a push, an auto push, sizeless push.
Which is bananas. There's like less than 10 of those in the game.
Yep. He pushes sentinels, for example.
Yeah.
And then, weirdly, conditionally on the push, so if you take Indomitable and you stop the push, he doesn't get to do this. But if he does push the target, then he gets to make a rapid fire attack, which can then, or sorry, make an assault rifle attack, which can then rapid fire into a third attack.
Yeah. And
this is, there are all, I would argue, all of the best spenders have this characteristic where they can turn into another attack that can build you, that can get you the power you need to do another spender.
Yeah, 100%.
And Winter Soldiers is one of the most reliable at getting at being
able to. I would argue that his is the best. Like, flat out, I think his is the best of the builders.
Yeah. Definitely of the builders. Spender's much more arguable.
Sorry, I meant his spender. I think his spender is the best of the spenders of this kind that like generate extra attacks.
Oh, sure.
Like I don't think that is a close question.
I would say Fury's pretty close.
Oh, that's fair. I haven't played with Fury a whole lot yet, so okay. He's a little bit of a blind spot for me.
They're in the same affiliation. It's ludicrous. so it is kind of difficult to do two of his spenders in a turn, but that's fine because you want to end all of his activations with a ton of power because he has Got Your Back. Mm-hmm. So Got Your Back is when a friendly character is dazed or KO'd, mm-hmm. he can spend 3 power. He actually got nerfed. It used to be 2 power. He can spend 3 power to make an assault rifle attack against the person who did the dazing KO.
Which has rapid fire,
which probably gets his 3 power back.
Yep.
More often than not. And because it's range 5, it's really hard to be out of range when you're doing this. You basically have to have a range 3 attack of your own in order to have a chance, or be on the complete other side of the table.
Right, yeah, you have to have some combination of distance or really long-range attacks. And having those combinations is, one, like, difficult at the best of times, because he kind of wants to be up in the middle anyway. He can certainly be there very quickly with his displacement ability. But, you know, he's just going to be something that you're going to want to deal with, so your good characters are going to be kind of going for him anyway.
He doesn't like characters with stealth, obviously, as an extremely long range character. So stealth is a good way to get around Got Your Back, because mm-hmm. you can take someone, just be outside of 3 of wherever Winter Soldier is standing and be perfectly safe. So
yes,
just be aware of that. Mm-hmm. So like Jaden was alluding to, he has a really good ability to move. So if he has power, he can spend 2 of it to do something called Hydra Tactics, which is he picks an allied character within 2. This can be a dazed character. This can be a grunt. And mm-hmm. places within 1 of that character. You'll note they're missing in a very important sentence in that rule.
The part that it says once per turn?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an active superpower. You can't do it on anyone else's turn. But I've seen him use Hydra Tactics like 4 times in 1 activation.
Yeah.
Or he's like, you hop forward, you shoot someone who's very far away, you do a bunch of damage to them, you're like, oh, I guess I'll go back to my point. Hop back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. End the turn even farther away than you started sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. And it does require you to have some friends within 2, but that's no hardship. You want them within 2 so that they're definitely in Got Your Back range. So.
Right. And some of them are likely to be bodyguards. Like, this guy loves Luke Cage. And, you know, so that's awesome for that purpose as well.
Yep. And then his last ability is if he's within range 1 of the person who's attacking him, or the person he's attacking, he gets a reroll. This is a small benefit. You usually try to set it up. Your opponents will occasionally forget about it and just, like, walk base to base with him. But it's not worth putting him in danger for. But it is nice if he's already there and he can't get to safety. Yeah, reels are just good. And reels are especially good because, again, there's not a once per turn, once per attack limit on this. So this affects every part of his assault rifle.
Yeah, so, you know.
It has a little bit of anti-synergy with his spender because the spender has to push them. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work. So that will almost always push them out of 1. But, you know, I'm not going to complain about this.
No. It's okay for a character this strong to have a little bit of anti-synergy with himself.
Yeah. And I think it's actually a little bit of a trap. I think a lot of times I get him killed trying to get that reroll more mm-hmm. than I get value out of what I would have gotten for that reroll.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So it's okay to ignore that rule is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Just don't forget about it, because it will come up occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget about when you're playing into it, for sure. So let's talk about how to use him effectively. Mm-hmm. So he loves E scenarios.
Yes.
Because he can walk once and be on the back E and threatening all the way to the middle E and even a little, pretty close to the one on the other side of the table.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much. Like, if you have a way to give him another power, well, a couple more power, I guess, easily he can hop over somebody else and be tapping the back edge of the table on turn one.
Exactly. And because of the knee scenario, all the objectives are in the center of the table. You're going to end up with, you know, a big brawl in the center, which means he's going to be covering everyone with Got Your Back. He's going to be having plenty of targets for Hydra Tactics. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just that's his favorite place.
Yeah, and he really, really likes Demons Downtown because it turns his 4-dice attack into kind of a 5-dice attack-ish. And everybody else is like, why?
Yeah, and his defenses are nothing special to start with, so getting him incinerated just means you have to have a bodyguard, which you should have anyways.
Yep, pretty much.
So, yeah. Number two, try and keep him safe from damage. If there are people within move and attack range, either move him away after he shoots them, or have someone who can protect him.
Yep.
Like, he is a glass cannon, especially if they have mystic attacks. So.
Oh yeah, if they have mystic attacks, you're like, I will be far away from you every opportunity that I can be, because I will just melt to mystic attacks.
Yes.
So
if you.
Yeah.
Yep. If you don't have an E scenario where his position is obvious, it's very important to think about which side of the table you want him to cover, which friends he's going to have with him, and I almost always deploy him last or in the middle of the table so that he can adjust on the fly to see which side has less stealth, which side has less mystic attacks, which one he'd be better on.
Right.
And that's also why he's really good at B scenarios, because he's going to pick one of those, control the back one, and be able to shoot all the way across, and he can often just rule a side by himself. And you don't get any value out of Got Your Back, but a 3-point model controlling 2 points is better than that.
Yeah, very much so. Like, I will take that efficiency trade all day.
Yeah. I played into Asgard recently where we were on a B scenario, and I had Fury Jr., Fury Sr., and Winter Soldier on one of the Bs. And my opponent walked Scourge and Valkyrie up to control his back B, and the three of them killed them dazed them both at range, and then they got one activation, KO'd them both.
Like, that's so silly.
The amount of damage that trio does is actually ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's all really long range.
Very, very long range.
So there's not really a bad way to play him. I like putting him on top of buildings. I like putting him in the center of tables. It's okay to not put him on a point, and so that he can be between two of them, so he's not as high of a threat, so people make a mistake and go after the scenario pieces. Like, there's lots of ways to do it.
Yep.
I would... The most important thing when playing Bucky is to quickly get to 3 power and never drop below it.
Yes, because you want to being able to do Got Your Back like every single turn if possible. Yes. Because it is
Because even if you don't get to pull it off, the amount of hoops your opponents have to jump through in order to avoid it is worth a 3 threat often.
Right, because they'll have to do things like waste a character's activation to throw him away or something, right? Or not stand on a point. Yeah, there's too many things that he can force your opponent to do, which they just really don't want to do.
Yep. Yeah, he has... I think in Magic it's called Threat of Activation. Like, just by existing, he affects how the game can go.
Mm-hmm. Which is really cool.
Let's talk about...
It's one of the most interesting... abilities, I guess, traits a thing can have, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a little less cool when both sides of the table take them in every game.
Well, once. Yes, that's fair.
But yeah, so he's become pretty core to how the game works, is trying to play around this puzzle in a very Infinity-like way.
Yes.
So. How do you play into him? So the first and most obvious is just attack him first.
Right.
Like, ignore all other threats. Just beeline straight for him. Do not pass go. Do not worry about scenario until he's under control. Because if he has to spend his time running away, he's not getting power. He's not, you know, doing a bunch of damage. You're going to send, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 threat after him. You should be able to handle the rest of the table, or at least part of it, at least long enough to take him down, and then you get back to a normal game.
Right.
Of note, though, do not send the Hulk after him.
Oh?
So the Hulk can definitely hurt him, but he has to be within range, too. So it takes a couple turns to get there.
Mm.
And Bucky, like, with a buff, Bucky with a hammer is an actual disaster.
Yes.
But, like, Bucky with a hammer pretty reliably kills the Hulk in, like, 2 activations.
Ah, because he doesn't get a day side.
He doesn't get a day side, and so when you spike, those spikes are always full value, and so you get a bunch of power. Hulk's defenses just aren't that great, and all it takes is one time for them to go badly, especially if he doesn't have the reroll active, and it's just over.
Right. Yeah, that seems really bad for him. Okay. So
a fast character with long range mystic attacks is a good way to deal with him. Like, for example, a Dr. Voodoo. But Dr. Voodoo is really great at hunting him down.
Yeah. Which is interesting because as like the premier 3 threat, it's a little bit weird to have your primary weakness be the premier 4 threat of the game.
I mean, it's about right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Other options are Fury Senior is pretty good. He's going to kill a lot of characters. Fury Senior has stealth. He will then be able to, ironically, get his opponent's back off of Got Your Back and shoot him back and all that, and incinerate him, all that good stuff.
Right. Real fast, I've forgotten the wording. Does Got Your Back trigger off throws, or is it just attacks?
It is any enemy effect, I believe.
Okay, so throwing things at enemy or at enemies is not a way to get around that, but throwing Bucky away is potentially a way to get around that.
Yep. And throwing stuff into Bucky does, you know, a lot of damage.
Just yeah, because he's only got 3 physical defense, which is bad.
Yep. Yep. And then, so the problem with the strategy of just go kill Bucky is that now he can have Fury Senior. He can then get his back once he gets dazed. And so it's a little bit worse than it used to be, but I believe it's still correct to just go for him, even if you're going to take an attack from Fury Senior, because at least it's only one attack.
Right, yeah, because you don't... Like, Fury Senior is good, but he's not as scary as the Winter Soldier is, and so you want to make sure that he's dead as fast as physically possible.
So this is exactly what we're talking about with Rapid Fire being undervalued. The single 5 die attack is extraordinarily weaker than the Rapid Fire 4 die attack. So,
well,
if you have to choose, yeah, which 100%. One to take to the face.
Well, also, doesn't Fury Senior's gun only have range 4 on it?
That's true.
Because I was going to say that might be the other thing, is that your range is also just not as scary.
Range 4 is pretty good, though. So.
Range 4 is very good, but
yeah,
it's not as good as range 5. Which is not a controversial statement, so...
Correct. So, what other things? So, if it is a spread-out scenario, like a B, or like a C, or like a D, going to where he's not. So, because he's going to want to take a side, and then he's going to want to have a friend with him so that he can get that friend's back. Just let that, like, 6-7 points, just, you know what? That's their side. Enjoy it. try and get ahead on extracts and crush the other side. That's a perfectly reasonable strategy. He does not like walking all the way across the table.
No, not even a little bit.
Because Because if you don't attack him and he doesn't get a chance to attack you, then he's not going to have the power to hide your tactics, certainly not going to be able to do it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, really lowers the amount that he can do. Also, mm-hmm. Having cover is just really good into him.
Yeah.
It's hard. It lowers the ceiling of how high he can spike.
Right.
By making sure that your defense spikes have a floor.
Mm-hmm. A theoretical floor, because you can still roll all like skulls or something, but
you could roll all skulls. That's true.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, something like magnetic refraction is a good helps a lot, and because mm-hmm. he's making a lot of attacks, and so you get a lot of value out of that.
Yes.
It turns four dice into a pretty unreliable defense against rapid fire into a decent one.
Mm-hmm.
So having lots of terrain helps a lot. Blocking line of sight is difficult in this game, but if you can do it, great.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just a bunch of size 2 characters speeding around, being behind size 3 pieces of terrain for at least the early part of the game without a huge amount of difficulty on a lot of boards.
Yeah, and so, many lists running Winter Soldier don't have a lot of way to throw lots of ways to throw terrain. So
that's true. Yeah, so that's a good thing to think about as well.
Yep. Taking sacrifice or that's the one. So taking sacrifice or disarm is a decent way to do it. Sacrifice, at least get it on a different character. Disarm, because he makes a lot of attacks, so taking mm-hmm. 2 dice of all of them is very good.
But right.
The most important thing to do is to take the fallback tactics card.
Mm-hmm.
So fallback is an interesting card in that, unlike every other reaction to attacks in the game, it happens in between damage and the attack being resolved.
Okay.
So normally, if you have a way to move after you take damage from an attack, you have to wait until all the attackers after the attack is resolved,
which includes rapid fire. Yep.
Yes. Fall back can break that. So if you're at the point where, so if you're a short move away from getting out of range 5 of Bucky, especially if it's like he just pushed you from Red Fury and then you can walk again like a second short, maybe gets you out of the way or gets you out of line of sight, mm-hmm. then that stops the chain. It's one of the very few ways to stop a chain other than just dying, which is normally how I stop it.
how do you stop the chain? I just die.
Yeah, if you overload their kill counter.
Big brain plays.
Great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, fallback's a really great way. Recalibration matrix is, of course, if he's hunting for spikes, make it so that if he does get the spike, he has to do it again. So
right.
that's an important card to always take. So other ways, not really much else.
he's
a good character.
He's a very good character. Where are you most likely to see him at this point? Definitely S.H.I.E.L.D. because he's affiliated there.
He's affiliated S.H.I.E.L.D. Definitely Criminal Syndicate, mm-hmm. because they either take a bunch of medium-based guys for him to jump off of, or or their whole game plan is to rapid-fire and spike dice.
Yep. Like I said, I really enjoyed him in Midnight Suns. He seemed like a perfect place for that, like because
he gets a second place.
He puts bleeds out for Blade. And you know, he's
Midnight,
just
Midnight Sun's character have a bad habit of just falling over dead, so he loves that.
Yeah, that's true. And he can get your back all of them. He's actually kind of hilarious with Ghost Rider too, because if they're attacking not Ghost Rider, not Bucky, then you get to do a lot of things that are fun.
Well, and even if they go for Bucky like they should, then Ghost Rider gets powered up.
Yeah, and then Ghost Rider does get powered up. Which is very nice synergy. And then you also often have Strange One, which lets you pump his defense rolls a little bit when he needs them, which is always because they suck.
Yeah, and he has 6 health in his backside, which makes it pretty likely that you'll be able to get a heal off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing, is that being able to heal him is real, real strong. Mm-hmm. For sure.
He's... Until they show more stuff, he's required to play Sentinels.
Fair.
He's also extremely good with Sentinels. I mean, they die a lot. They're huge bases to place off of. They give him power. It's actually a really natural synergy.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I think any place where that he can get like a bunch of extra power early, like in humans or maybe A-Force, maybe not A-Force because they're so synergistic, but places that let
Brotherhood,
definitely, yeah. All of these places that can cheat him power early so that he can place and shoot turn one and get maximum like damage out so that he can make two attack actions every round. That's exactly what he wants to be doing.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, any list that's trying to play any attrition should be thinking about him.
Yeah, and thinking about what to do against him, because he will be one of the biggest problems for those lists as well.
Yeah, so like Web Warriors might not play him. Wakanda might not play him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else.
Fair, except for Black Order, because they will play Proxima instead.
Oh, yeah, but if they can fit a second three.
Oh, yeah, if you can fit a second three. Well, Zemo will give you a run for your money there, but it's close.
Not sure that's true anymore.
Maybe not. All right. Well, I think, unless you have anything else you want to mention about the Winter Soldier, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of
Doomed Prophecy.
And with that, I would like to thank all of our patrons who support us on Patreon. You guys are wonderful and patient. I appreciate all of the grace that's been extended to me as my life got turned upside down over the last month. And so we are super grateful to you guys for being there as incredible supporters. If you want to check that out, it's patreon.com/LOS. So, nope, I did it wrong this time. Dang it. patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. And you can get things like early access to episodes, voting on episode topics, fancy color names in our Discord server. Speaking of which, you can find our Discord server in the links in the show notes of this podcast or any of the podcasts on our website. I also believe it's discord.gg/lineofsightwargaming if you just want to join it that way. You can email any of us, admin@lineofsightwargaming.com. We'll get to the admin email address, and then just any of our first names at lineofsightwargaming.com. We'll get it to me or Brett specifically if you have a question or a thought for either of us. You can find our Facebook page. It's just Line of Sight. It's a podcast page. We got lots of stuff going on there. And I believe that's about it. So, until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. Bye.